This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Nearly 6,000 local ballots rejected by local counties back in the primary. And here to talk about why is WCPO reporter Dan Monk. He joins us via Zoom. Dan, welcome back to our show. It's been a while.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michael.
Our pleasure. This is quite a story. And your headline says, why did 8 local counties reject 5,800 ballots this spring? So let me ask you a question. Why did 8 local counties reject 5,800 ballots this spring?
Mostly because people missed the deadline. That accounted for about 47% of the rejections. Signature problems represented another 26%. And then there were a variety of problems that comprised the rest, having to do with, you know, paying attention to the instructions, signing envelopes in certain ways, you mail the envelope back. Some states require you to sign the envelope. Some states require you to sign 2 envelopes. So there's a variety of instructions that, you know, people got wrong according to the records that the that each county board of elections official sent to us.
And Dan, how much of this had to do with the fact that a lot of us were voting in this part of the world for the first time in a new way because of the pandemic?
Yeah, I think that was a factor in both voter confusion and boards of elections not accustomed to dealing with this many mail-in ballots. Like, in Kenton County, for example, they had the highest rejection rate of 7.2%. And Kenton County Clerk Gabriel Summey told me that in the 2016 election, I think she said it was less than 3% of the votes came in by mail or absentee ballots. And in this election, Boone County, I think it was close to 79% that had, that were mail-in. So this was a highly unusual election, especially for the Kentucky counties where mail-in voting was not prevalent before this year.
You noted Kenton County Clerk Gabriel Summey there in Kenton County, where Covington is. You note ranks 4th in the region as in terms of population of registered voters, 138,000 registered voters in Kenton County, but was number 1 in both the number and percentage of rejected ballots, 7.2% discarded out of 26,249. What did you learn in Kenton County?
Well, they followed a procedure that they've followed, you know, since the mail-in voting was first allowed in Kentucky, and that is there are 2 envelopes in Kentucky that you have to sign both of them. And the statute, according to Summey, states that if you don't sign both envelopes, you are disqualified. What she learned after the election, she says, is that other counties were not treating it the same way. In some cases, they were allowing voters to cure that problem. In other words, they would contact them and they would say, well, you missed a signature here. Can you come in or send us a fill out this form so that we know that you're the voter in question? And Summey said that they didn't cure those ballots because the statute says if they're not both signed, there's nothing to cure. So what happened eventually was that Summey took this issue to the County Clerks Association in Kentucky, and they, working with the Secretary of State, developed a new set of guidelines. So for the November 3rd election, the rules will be different. If somebody, for some reason, signs the inside envelope but not the outside envelope, as long as there is something there for them to verify that that is the right voter, that vote will likely be rejected. There's also more time between, more time for curing, essentially. There was more time between the time that Kenton County mailed out its ballots and the time that, they received them back. More time to make sure the voters who made mistakes have an opportunity to correct those mistakes.
We're talking with Dan Monk from WCPO about an iTeam report that analyzed the fact that 8 local counties rejected nearly 6,000 ballots back in the primary election earlier this year. You talked to someone from a good government organization, and can you talk a little bit about what that perspective was on whether the number that we saw here was worthy of raising alarm?
Yeah, well, this person's perspective was that you do have to follow the rules in order to have your ballot counted. However, to make it so onerous that people who are obviously registered to vote and are not able to have their vote counted, that is a problem. And as for what percentage is the right percentage in terms of a rejection rate, that's really not clear. I know that in 2016, the national rate of rejection was less than 1%. And we had several counties locally that had higher rejection rates than 1%. You know, Boone County, 2.9%. There was, Kent County, obviously, at 7.2%. And then Butler County came in at 1.6% rejection rate. So, you know, how high is too high? Probably 7% is too high. But as we said, that problem that caused that percentage to be so high is not likely to be a factor in the November 3rd election.
So what did we learn, I guess, as voters, perhaps, that maybe we were making an adjustment in the spring and now we've got the opportunity to try this again? I know a lot of people will be voting or already have voted. Was there any indication that voters are better educated this time around?
I think they are. I mean, we talked to one voter whose ballot was rejected in the spring, and she inadvertently forgot to sign the ballot. She wasn't aware of it until we contacted her this week. But she did say that her husband recalled getting a notice from the Warren County Board of Elections just after the election. And so what happened in that case was Ohio had this delayed primary. And April 28th was the vote date. Their ballot arrived on the 28th. Hers lacked a signature. The County Board of Elections said that they would have contacted her by cell or email if they had that contact information, but they didn't. So they mailed the form allowing her to cure the ballot. I think there was probably still time for her to cure it and get the vote counted, but she didn't see the notice in the mail and therefore didn't respond. Well, this time around, she not only mailed it early, she got her absentee ballot, filled it out, dropped it in the drop box. She didn't rely on the U.S. mail. And then she got onto the county's website to make sure that the vote had been received and was accepted for counting. So the ballot was processed in advance. And she took an extra step or two just to make sure that her ballot was going to be counted.
Dan, what did you find out there in talking to voters about their perception of the process? I know that there's been some concern raised even by the president himself, at least suggesting that this isn't a good way to vote mail-in ballots or absentee ballots. Is there any buy-in to that perspective, or do voters feel confident?
I think voters are vigilant. They're not. I talked to two voters for this story. So one of them obviously took extra steps to make sure her ballot was counted. In Claremont County, there was another voter who told me that she received, I think, four absentee ballot requests. She requested a form to fill out, and she got four of those forms. She threw away three of them, mailed one back, and then she ended up getting two ballots. One was for a different precinct, the wrong precinct, not her voting precinct. And so she called the Board of Elections. They told her to discard that one and send in the correct one. And then she followed up also by checking on the website to make sure that that vote was accepted and will be counted on November 3rd. So I think that people are, a lot of people are voting early. They're voting in person early. There are a lot of different ways that you can cast a ballot, and I think people are educating themselves about the best way to do it. I know I spent more time filling out my ballot this year than I ever have because I voted by absentee ballot for the first time. I took it as an advantage to do some research while I was filling out my ballot. I listened to some of your interviews of the candidates in Hamilton County, and I probably spent 2 hours voting, which is a lot more than I usually do. I read coverage, but I don't spend time with a ballot in hand, with a sample ballot in hand, and really take time to evaluate each candidate you know, at the time that I'm voting. So I kind of liked the process. I thought it was an interesting way to approach elections, and I'll probably vote by mail in the future.
And Dan, before we let you go and to get on with your Halloween weekend, and I know we've all got a busy week next week, goodness knows, I just want to confirm here, what should voters be paying attention to as they cast these votes, or if they've already cast their vote? What about a mistake? Do they get contacted by the Board of the Board of Elections, or is there something they should be checking online?
They are supposed to be contacted if there is a mistake, like you forget to sign, you know, the line that you're supposed to sign. You're supposed to be contacted. So, you know, it's a little late to be saying vote early, but if you drop off your ballot in the drop box at this point, you have a better chance of having your ballot cured if there is a mistake. If you go to our story, there are links to all three states where you can where you can track your ballot, and so you follow those links. You go to your county board of elections. You type in your name and your birth date, and it will tell you whether your ballot has been accepted for voting. They haven't been counted yet, but they have been processed. And if there's a problem, boards of elections are either supposed to contact you to cure the problem, or you can contact them if you determine, you know, say you get online this weekend and you don't see that your ballot is accepted, you should contact the Board of Elections on Monday to figure out why.
Dan Monk is a reporter at WCPO. You can read more from this story at WCPO.com. Dan, always a pleasure to have you on. Hope we can talk again soon.
Thanks. Take care.
You too. And now joining us via Zoom is Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reporter Joe Ingles. Joe, thank you for being with us.
It's great to be here.
So we were just talking about President Trump and some of the suggestions he's made about the election process this year. And one of his tweets recently prompted you to do a little reporting. And that is the story that, no, you cannot have a do-over on your vote in Ohio. Can you tell us
right.
why you had to look into this?
Well, you know, essentially anything he tweets, we get a lot of people asking questions about it. So when I saw that one, I was like, I know the answer to that, but I better check, make sure. So yes, you cannot have a do-over in Ohio. There are some states out there where you can have a do-over under limited circumstances, however, but most states you cannot. And here in Ohio, you basically can only cast one ballot. The ballot gets recorded. And then if you try to, the way the system's set up, if you try to cast another ballot, it will be flagged. And so you can't do that. There's no apparatus to do that.
Okay. So are there people that are trying to do this?
It's hard to tell right now. You know, they're voting at this point. You know, after the election, we'll see that more clearly because we'll see, you know, how many people have tried to do what. And, you know, quite frankly, some of those people who try to do that, they could be brought up on some pretty serious charges because it is against the law to vote twice or try to vote twice in Ohio.
We heard President Trump, Joe, very recently say explicitly, very directly, suburban women, please like me. And so that's his courtship of suburban women that polls indicate have rejected him this time around in favor of his Democratic rival, Joe Biden. But suburban women in Ohio could play a key role in this election. How?
They really could, because they are the swing vote this time around. Political analysts are looking at the polling, they're looking at the numbers, and they're saying that this group of women could determine who wins in Ohio. And, you know, last time around, Republican suburban women, women with, you know, a college degree, they tended to go more for Donald Trump. But a lot of them are having buyer's remorse. And some of them talked with me. And there is a mobilization. There's an effort out there to get women who are not happy with the way things are going right now to get them to vote blue. And there's a group called Red Wine and Blue that has thousands of women, some of them right there in your Cincinnati area, who are working very hard with a texting campaign and other apparatus to try to get the vote out for Vice President Joe Biden.
Your story includes a comment from the president. Suburban women, why don't you like me? I saved your damn neighborhoods. This was at a recent rally. Yeah. And you did talk to some African-American women who live in Ohio suburbs. Yeah. And that comment by the president was viewed by many as race baiting. And yeah. What did the African-American yeah. women have to say to you about that?
Well, and they thought it was race baiting, you know, but they pointed out that suburbs in Ohio, well, a lot of them tend to be very, you know, diverse anyway. They have women who are in, you know, who are from all walks of life in their suburbs. And so saying that, you know, you're going to have people of a different color or that people of a different, you know, background, that's not really scary to women and to some women. And this whole law and order notion that President Trump has been putting out there, it's effective with some women. Some women are afraid right now. They want the reassurance that the police is going to be there when they call them. They don't know exactly how the whole defund the police movement can affect them. So it's playing with some women, but with other women, they hear that kind of thing and they think, hey, this is just a way for the president to try to divide us, and this isn't going to work with us.
You noted, Joe, that you spoke to some suburban women who even live in suburbs here in Cincinnati, right. And you talked to Julie Womack and Amy Mercer, both who live in Mason, and Amy Mercer said she was insulted by Trump's message. These were white women, but they also recognize what you had said moments ago, that these suburbs are more diverse than some people may presume, certainly what the president appears to suggest. But this is playing out in their personal lives in a way that they're feeling insulted because of what is looked at as racist points of view from the president.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. It comes off as condescending to these women, a lot of them. And a lot of them say that they're very upset that the president is trying to court them this way because they think it's, you know, patriarchal. They think it's just, you know, everything that they are not, you know, suburban housewife. He called some suburban women in one tweet. And they, you know, a lot of people say, hey, we're not housewives, we're professionals. Julie Womack, for example, is an attorney in Mason. And she's been out, you know, recruiting people for Biden. And, you know, she said that, and like all the women, pretty much, they said the things that are affecting them, the things that they care about, they're worried about COVID. They're worried about education of their kids. They're worried about things that of that nature. And in fact, Julie Womack said that her own son had gone through COVID. It was scary for her. So they're looking for someone who shows leadership in those areas, on those issues. And they don't feel that President Trump is showing leadership there. In fact, they think that he's just pandering in some cases. But then again, there are other women who do think that he is doing what he should be doing, and that, you know, this pandemic has been, they think, overblown quite a bit.
You did note some women who live in the suburbs and are supportive and receptive of the president's message. One resident, Deidre Bingley, who lives in Delaware and said that she used to live in Texas, unauthorized immigration, because she has that relationship or that knowledge from Texas, that is something of concern to her. And you talked to another Delaware resident, Cindy Patrick, who's found that law and order message is resonating. So it's not like any of these suburbs are going to have unanimous counts.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, all women are not the same. We all know that. We all come from different perspectives. We are different in the way we view things. So this is going to be a battle for which candidate speaks to most women on the issues that are most important to women. And, you know, the polling is showing that Biden has that. But, you know, it's all in turnout. It's all about who gets their people to the polls, who votes. Right now, we know in Ohio, the early vote is it's going very well. In fact, we've surpassed the number of people who voted in 2016. We've already had more absentee voters voting right now than voted in 2016's early vote. So, you know, we've got another big weekend coming up here. And then, of course, Election Day itself. And the question is going to be, who shows up at the polls, and who are they voting for?
I want to encourage everyone listening to visit statenews.org. That is where you find some really excellent reporting out of Columbus and statewide from the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau, which includes our friend Joe Ingles, who joined us on this Friday. Joe, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And definitely look up this story. That it includes a story about a woman named Erin Rosiello who voted for President Trump last time around but is now running as a Democrat for a state House seat. Up next, we say goodbye to Jay Hanselman and Lee Hay, longtime voices here at WVXU. Their interviews are just ahead. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're saying goodbye to two longtime voices here at WVXU, Around Cincinnati producer and host Lee Hay, and our reporter here in the news department, Jay Hanselman. I spoke with both of them, and first you'll hear our interview with Lee Hay. We recorded this yesterday. She spent 45 years in the business. Here's our conversation. Lee, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Oh, thanks, Michael.
I'm so sorry to lose you here at WVXU, although I have to say we've not seen each other in quite some time. Your office is across from mine, but you've been working remotely during all of this, and now you're throwing in the hat, throwing in the towel. I don't know how to characterize this. You've been at this for about 45 years. Why now? Why is now the time?
Well, it just seemed a really good time coming up to the holidays, and I felt that it was time to spend more time with my friends and family, especially when I keep looking at the obituaries online and seeing friends and so many musicians, people in the arts who are passing away, and I thought, I've got to seize this time and have some fun.
And we certainly hope that you are able to have some fun, and you're going to have some more time to do that, but this is something that's been part of your life for more than four decades, radio. And how do you think you'll be after you walk out of here for the last time, at least in this capacity? Do you think it'll be weird?
Yeah, of course, it'll be strange not to, because I've recorded last night my last radio show for WVXU, which is my Halloween special. So it'll be strange not to be doing radio again. But I think I'll probably find lots of other things that'll keep me occupied.
No doubt about that. And you started in 1975. You've been with WVXU since 1984. When you look back on all these great programs that you've done, and you're particularly skilled at not just producing Around Cincinnati, but these long-form documentary-style programs, do you have a favorite?
Yeah, it would be the special We Were Here that I did in 2003, I think it was, for VXU over at Xavier. And Governor Taft gave me an award up in Columbus. We drove up there to receive it from the Martin Luther King Jr. Commission of Ohio. So that was pretty special.
And your Halloween special airs Saturday night at 11 on 91.7 WVXU. Is that special to you at all? Is there something you like about Halloween to put together a special?
It's my favorite holiday. I like it the best. I've done Halloween specials almost every year since I've been doing radio that I could. And this one starts off with a little segment of Leonard Cohen. And then there's, of course, a big nod to New Orleans and who are really in our hearts and mind right now because of the hurricane hit that they took this week. And so there's a lot of New Orleans music, and there's some Dr. John, and there's Christopher Walken, who does a recitation of Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. And I end with Oh Brother by Ralph Stanley Oh Death from Ralph Stanley from the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack. And the very last song is my very favorite song of all songs, and that is by the Stanley Brothers, and it's Ranked Strangers. So I thought, well, if I'm going to go out in my radio career, I'm going to go with my favorite, and that was Ranked Stranger.
That's great. And again, that's at 11 o'clock on 91.7. We're talking with Lee Hay, who is retiring from our public radio station after 45 years in public radio. Lee, take us back to those early days. What drew you to this business?
Well, when I finished with my master's at Moorhead in 1975, that fall, I heard WAIF go on the air. It was around Thanksgiving, I think. So I lived close, and I walked up to the station and started and said, hey, can I volunteer? I'll empty waste baskets, whatever. And I met a great group of people. And while I was there, I also got a job in the development department at WGUC on the UC campus. So I worked at GUC in the development department with John Magro for a number of years, and Al Holson, and a bunch of great people, Oscar Treadwell. And then went to WMUB for 3 years, from 77 to 80, and was development director up there. And then decided to learn the record business. So I went to Record Theater, assistant manager there, and one of the buyers. So I learned a lot about records, and I worked at NOP down on the river, which was really a trip. And then right after I finished NOP, I started working at WVXU doing jazz as a volunteer in 1984.
Again, we're talking with Lee Hay, who is retiring from WVXU after 45 years in public media. Most people listening these days probably recognize you from the Sunday night program that recently ended around Cincinnati, and you spend a lot of time profiling the local arts community. This pandemic has been devastating to a lot of industries, but we know all too well how badly it's impacted the arts, because we really can't have many performances, at least not the way that arts organizations need them to be in order to be sustainable. What are you hearing from your friends in the arts community about what this period in time has done to them?
Well, it's been really tough on them. They're having to reinvent themselves. Want Muppet puppets? I got an email from Terrence the other day, and he's doing online Halloween videos, which is pretty cool, because he used to do a lot of libraries. He was on tour. He was doing great. And then this pandemic hit. But he's reinventing how he interacts with kids. And I noticed that during this time, Ensemble Theater has reworked their website. So it's really interesting that the folks in the arts are taking this time to kind of reinvent themselves and figure out how they can reach their supporters and still stay alive.
Well, we all hope there's an other side to this, and that it's better than what we're experiencing currently. But with a program like Around Cincinnati, there was a broadcast home, a regular home for discussions about arts and upcoming events. And without it, there's not. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of having that type of platform for Cincinnati's arts community?
Sure. The fact that so many authors, we're very, very lucky to have so many talented people in this area, in this Cincinnati region. We've got authors, sculptors, painters, so many people who people haven't heard of, our listeners haven't heard of. And by having them come on the air and talk about their work and talk about what they're doing, who they are, and how long they've been working, I think that our listeners appreciated the fact that and learned that there are so many great musicians and artists in this area. So where, you know, there's not print magazines anymore, really. You have to go online to try to find people. They've got websites, but how do they share their websites? Maybe Facebook, but hearing their voices, I think, on the air is really important.
So, Lee, a lot of people in our organization, Cincinnati Public Radio, WVXU, WGUC, and WMUB, all that have connections to youth over the decades. And, you know, a lot of people here are going to miss you. So we thought we'd bring on the big boss, the general manager, Rich Eisworth, to tell you such. Rich joins us via Zoom. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Michael. Nice to be here. I greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we're glad to have you on. And I know that you probably would like to say something to Lee.
Well, I'd love to. what can I say that you haven't already begun, except for the fact that she is going to leave a tremendous void here at Cincinnati Public Radio. As you know, she has won numerous awards and some significant recognition for the station's, you know, for the Ohio Martin Luther King Jr. Commission, the Communicators Awards, Society of Professional Journalists, Ohio Associated Broadcasters Association. I could go on and on and on. But I think the biggest loss with her departure is the direct connection she established for us with the vibrant art community here in Greater Cincinnati. We pride ourselves in the fact that Cincinnati Public Radio is probably the premier media outlet for local arts community and for all of the arts and cultural institutions. And thanks to the tremendous outreach work that Lee has done, she is probably the best friend of the arts and culture in Greater Cincinnati. And her departure is going to leave a void that we're going to be struggling with for years and decades to come. And we're going to miss her terribly. But I don't want to end my comments on a morbid note. But then again, she kind of began her interview saying that one of the reasons she's departing is because she looks in the obit every day and sees, unfortunately, the loss of so many great musicians from around the area, that she wants to be able to spend more time interacting with them. And, you know, what's the adage that you check the newspaper every morning or online and check the obits, and if your name isn't there, then you forge ahead for the next day. And we're counting on her doing that for many, many more years to come. And we wish her all the best in your new chapter.
Thanks, Rich. That was really nice. Because at this point, I'm thinking every day is a blessing.
It is. And you've made that clear for us every week on Around Cincinnati and hosting the blues. I'll tell you, with your departure, we're going to have a reason for singing the blues around here. We're going to miss you.
Thank you.
How about that? And so that we don't end too sadly, I have to say, Lee, you're in a very unique position here. We've all wanted to swear at the boss at some point. Now he's not going to be your boss anymore. Is there anything terrible you want to say to Rich Eisworth as we wind down?
Well, I do have a miniature poodle that I adopted from them.
Sorry about that.
She's really precious these days, chasing my Catahoula around the house.
Oh, I'm sure that's cute. No, we all love Rich. We wouldn't say anything bad to him. Of course not. Lee.
At least not while I'm here.
No, not while you're connected via Zoom and not while we're broadcasting. Certainly not. Not the big boss. But Rich is very good with words, so we should all be so fortunate to be sent off by him. And Lee, of course, you are very talented with words too and spoken word. And we've all been blessed in this region to have your participation in this medium for as long as we've had you. You deserve a break and you deserve to spend all the time you've got however you want. And we'll look forward to what's next. What might be next?
Well, I'm not sure. I've gotten lots of offers. People definitely want some of my talents out there. But I'm going to tomorrow, you know, on my first day of retirement, I'm going to spend it with my mom and my brother. I haven't seen my mom except for once since the pandemic in March started. So I'm spending time with family.
Well, we hope that you enjoy that time. We hope that Big Blue Nation brings you many great seasons ahead. I know you're a big Kentucky Wildcat fan. Yeah. And let's hope that that works out for you as well when sports are back to normal as well. And it is perfect that your last day is effective on Halloween, your favorite holiday. And we'll catch that final special you put together, 11 o'clock, Lee Hay's Halloween special here on 91.7 WVXU. Lee Hay retiring from public radio after 45 years. Lee, thank you so much for sharing some time with us today and sharing all the time with our listeners that you have over the years.
Oh, thank you very much.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. It's always hard to say goodbye to someone you've worked with for a long time and to someone whose voice you've heard for years and years and years. And there's going to be a lot of sadness in this room. Lee Hay is retiring. And it turns out that Jay Hanselman is also leaving us. So we're going to say goodbye to Jay Hanselman now. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm okay. Listen, today's your last day.
I'm
kidding, of course. We're going to miss you as much as Lee. But I
just wish I could retire.
I know. You're not retiring. You're just going off to work somewhere else. And I have to note, it's All Hallows Eve, a pretty, you know, traditionally scary time of year. You did Morning Edition for Marianne this morning, and so you're usually alone when you do that. And all I know is I came in during my usual time and noticed a bunch of broken glass. So let me just set this up for the listeners before we say goodbye to you, Jay. We have a hallway that leads to the break room, and on that hallway, there are two facing walls, of course. Correct. One has all the pictures of the WVXU on-air staff, and the other one has all the WGUC on-air staff. And that WGUC wall is on the other side of the wall to the office you've been using during the pandemic. All the WGUC, or most of them, were on the ground, shattered to pieces.
Not true.
Shattered to pieces.
Not true.
What did you do this morning on your way out? Why are you so mad?
I had a slight office door malfunction.
Really?
If a door opens too hard and there are things on the other side of that wall, they fall off.
Well, I know you live out in the country, but you have used a door before, right, Jay?
Yes, and it was complete stupidity on my part. I've offered to pay for the damages. And to be fair, there are 9 pictures. I only damaged 4 of them.
Well, I'm sure those 4 people understand that it was an accident, allegedly. And we'll investigate further. We'll check the tape, as you like to say.
I'm not trashing the place on my way out,
I promise. And the way you say trash is something else I want to address. And on this Friday, as you also pronounce, you're headed home to Brown County.
Right.
And why are you leaving us? Why now?
It's just, I posted on Facebook last week, I've done this for a long time, and 2020, it's like there have been, it's been like 5 years worth of news in 8 months, and I'm just tired, and it's time to do something different.
Well, can you tell us, I mean, we're not going to pry too hard, but is there anything that you can tell us about what you're, because you're leaving the business.
I'm leaving the business. I'm going to be working in a factory, and the factory makes components for car parts.
All right. Well, you'll have to send us some pictures because I've got to see that.
It's going to be totally different. But, you know, and then let me say one other thing. You know, when I started doing this back in 1990, I know that's ancient history, the internet was just beginning. There was no social media. And basically, I did radio. So, you know, I wrote my stories for the air, and that's all I had to worry about. And now it's expanded out to tweets and Facebook posts and online posts, and it's almost 24/7. And so with hopefully, knock on wood, about 11 years left to work, I want to try something totally different for that remaining 11 years.
1990. It's a fine year. 30 years in the business. Is that the math? 30 years.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's a lot of time. And you've become very well respected for really your knowledge of City Hall. We always like having you on Fridays to talk about the news. And it turns out that our listeners aren't the only ones who appreciate your work. Apparently, Jay, it's Jay Hanselman Day in the city of Cincinnati.
And also Hamilton County.
The county, too?
The county, too.
My goodness. You say that so humbly.
And we wasn't a paid holiday.
Not yet. And we've got City Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld joining us via Zoom right now. Hey, Councilman.
You know, Monks, I'm not sure your tone has been fit for a journalistic king that Jay is. I had a little more respect out of you, maybe.
I think your tone is worse than mine.
We are celebrating a legend here. And as you mentioned, today is Jay Hanselman Day. There's no extra tax that comes with that day. Don't worry, anybody. But if I can do this for a moment here, because the truth is Jay is enormously respected in the community at City Hall, and we did want to do something to celebrate what is a bittersweet departure. We're glad that Jay is pursuing something else that he's interested in, but we certainly appreciate his many, many years of service to the city. So, Matt, can I go for it, Monks?
Go for it, Sittenfeld.
All right. Be it proclaimed, whereas Jay Hanselman has been a longtime pillar of Cincinnati journalism and at 91.7 WVXU, and whereas Jay Hanselman began his career in public radio at WNKU in 1990, where he hosted the local broadcast of National Public Radio's All Things Considered, and whereas Jay Hanselman's coverage has focused on Cincinnati City Hall and the Hamilton County Commission, where he is known and referred to as being one of the most knowledgeable and experienced reporters in the city on these beats, whereas Jay Hanselman is well-regarded, well-respected, and known within City Hall and the WVXU newsroom for his sense of humor and for his passion for puns. Could be a few more of those in this broadcast. And whereas Jay Hanselman is a man of many interests, including watching The Golden Girls and The Andy Griffith Show, working on antique steam engines, and watching the University of Kentucky basketball, and whereas on October 30th, 2020, today, Jay Hanselman will be hanging up his microphone after 30 years of being on the air and will be greatly missed by his loyal listeners, his colleagues at WVXU, and the greater Cincinnati community. Now, therefore, I, P.G. Sittenfeld, on behalf of the mayor, the council, the entire city of Cincinnati, do hereby officially proclaim October 30th, 2020, as Jay Hanselman Day in Cincinnati. Jay, congratulations. You will be missed.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that honor.
Councilman, thank you so much for spending some time with us and inflating Jay's ego on his way out the door. We'll see if he'll fit out the door.
It's actually strange because I said at times when I thought that, because I knew this day may come, that I would actually be given a restraining order not to come back.
Jay, what's the old expression? Don't you call us. We'll call you. Once you get your ego through the door, mind the shards of glass, apparently, too.
No kidding. Violent man. Nobody knows how violent this guy is, so we'll miss him terribly in that respect.
It's been cleaned up.
Councilman, thank you so much for taking some time to be with us.
Gentlemen, I'll see you guys soon. Thanks,
you got
Michael.
It. All right. Well, that must mean a lot, Jay, to be recognized by the local governments on a day like today. If Jay Hanselman Day were a lingering holiday, like if it were to come around every year, what do you think would be the appropriate way for people to celebrate Jay Hanselman Day?
Lots of fireworks and large monetary gifts.
I love that. Well, listen, the councilman's not the only one who wanted to say goodbye to you. You are beloved here in the newsroom. You are a very funny guy, a punny guy. I think people would describe you as a ray of sunshine in the mornings as you parade around the building.
Breaking and, glass as I go.
But your fellow reporters and news team members here at WVXU wanted to say a few words. Do we have them, Josh?
Hey, Jay, handsome man. It's your pal, Tana Weingartner, and I just want to say thank you for being a friend. You know, we've traveled down the road and back again, but your heart is so true. You are a pal and a confidant. And you know what? If you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you'd see that the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached, well, it would say, thank you for being a friend. We're going to miss you, Jay. The newsroom just won't be the same without you.
Hey, Jay, it's Bill Reinhart. I want to thank you for teaching me a lot over these last few years. It's been a pleasure to work with you. And I hope now that you've got some time away from the station, you can take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We might not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones. Mighty fine for skipping stones. You'll feel as fresh as a lemonade a-settin' in the shade. Good luck, Jay.
Hi, Jay. This is Ann. For the entire 15 years that we've worked here, your desk was right next to mine. And for that time, I pegged you as a straight-laced brainomaniac who came into work, used your smarts to cover City Hall, and had the same thing for lunch every day. A sandwich, I'm still not sure if it was bologna or ham, and Pringles. So you can imagine how surprised I was when you decided to go to Hawaii one year with your brother's family to see UK. Now, UK isn't the part that surprised me. You are a huge fan with season tickets. It's that you actually flew to Hawaii and had a great time. And another year, you went to Disney World with your nieces. And you went to an Elton John concert. First of all, I didn't even know you were a fan, and as far as I knew, you only liked country. So many things, apparently, I still don't know about you. Hope you're able to continue all those fun things and discover more activities that you like to do.
Hi, I'm Marianne Zalesnik, but I'm not the only one who said that on the air. Think back, Jay. Remember during one fun drive when you started talking and said, good morning, I'm Marianne Zalesnik. I think it was hard for both of us to keep talking after that. Okay, all kidding aside, WVXU, City Hall coverage, and especially fun drives, they're not going to be the same without you. Jay, I wish you all the best. Or I will, once I forgive you for leaving. We'll miss you.
And that was the news team member saying goodbye to our Jay Hanselman. You're going to miss these folks, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. And how fitting that they worked in the words to the Golden Girls theme song and the Andy Griffith Show.
Okay, so does the Andy Griffith whistling song, does that have lyrics? Is that
yes,
what that is?
A lot of people don't know that, but it actually does have words. And
okay.
I haven't checked it, but I think Bill got those words right.
We'll have to check, and I think we're going to probably get sued for that, but because we were talking internally here in the CE team about how we were going to say goodbye to you and play the Golden Girls theme on the way out. You're a big fan of that show and a big fan of the Andy Griffith Show, and so it's just part of your character, and so we make a lot of references to that, I think, in our when it was announced that you were leaving on our daily news team meeting, which is by video these days. Bill Reinhardt had changed his background to the iconic Golden Girls kitchen set, which was...
and the living room, too. He did the living room,
He
too.
Left out the lanai, though, and the lanai is very important as well. So honestly, when you said you were leaving, I thought, surely he's finally going to open that museum, that antique museum with some Golden Girl featurettes. And well, look, I know you're a little emotional about this all of a sudden. This
just
is
a little bit.
First time I've seen that. What do you think you'll miss about this job?
Being around the people. And, you know, sometimes I've had a front seat to history. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. But I am perfectly willing now to be just an audience member watching and listening like everybody else instead of reporting it out to people.
What got you into this business to begin with?
When I was a kid, all I wanted to be was a disc jockey. And I would set up and act like I had a radio station in my living room. I even had two turntables so I could play, you know, back-to-back records. And when I was in second grade, I got a tour of our local radio station. It had been on the air maybe 3 or 4 years. And once I was inside that place, I was absolutely hooked, and I decided that's what I'm going to do. And fortunately, for 30 years, I was able to do that.
So you have that distinction of working on like the music side as well, right? Like you would spin some records and
right.
Then you got to do the news side.
Right. A couple of stations, I did both. The one place I worked full time for a while, I did the music and top of the hour, 5-6 o'clock in the evening, we did the newscast. Even with reading obituaries, because at that time the area that I was in did not have a daily paper, so it was important for folks in the community that we pass along obituaries. So we would read obituaries to end our newscast at every newscast.
We heard Mary Ann in her goodbye to you reference a funny mistake that you made in reading some copy and introducing yourself as Mary Ann Zalesnik. You should be so lucky, Jay. I wonder if you have any similar stories that you might share of some funny things that might have happened.
I have to tell this one. One of the places I worked, they had a deli. It was a grocery store. The deli, they had a daily lunch menu. And every once in a while, they would have tuna noodle casserole. And I have to say it that slow because I can't tell you how many times it came out tuna nuda.
Tuna nuda.
Tuna nuda casserole. So I got so that I said it very slowly. Tuna noodle casserole.
Well, Jay, if you ever feel entrepreneurial and you leave your new warehouse job and you want to open a deli over in Brown County, I think Tuna Noodle would be a great name for a restaurant, and we would come and eat there just to see you. I promise you that. Jay, we will miss you very much. We will probably lean on you heavily as we transition to life without you in our newsroom. So be prepared for text messages and emails. You are very smart about city policy, and you are a wealth of institutional knowledge. And you're pretty clever and funny, and we're going to miss that. And we're going to wish you all the best.
Thank you. And let me say thank you to, I've gotten a whole lot of messages on Twitter and Facebook and emails and even a card today in the mail saying thank you. So thank you for everyone who has reached out, and I appreciate it. I'm still going to be around. You'll hear me every once in a while, but just not as often.
Just not as often. Jay Hanselman, thank you for being a friend, and thank you for being a part of the WVXU news team. We will miss you greatly. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our program are online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. Happy Halloween. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again on Monday.